Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Just kind of snuck up on me, but hey, we're back here Thursday. It's 5 o'clock, so that means I'm the Big Jack, but we're here at 5 o'clock, so that means Schomburg Stu's in for Dan the Man again. Stu, did I bring you in? Did that work? Oh, maybe not. All right, let's try it again. We're going to put Stu on hold because sometimes this happens when you try to do it and the music's playing. And now we'll bring Stu in again and see if it works this time. Come on, there we go. All right, Stu, are you there this time?
I am here. Can you hear me?
There we go. We
all
got
right.
It to work this time. But, all right, you want to call in and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't happen to get over there to check out yesterday's, it's still right there for you. But, you know, if not, just manage to get over there sometime. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we didn't have time to get Stu on Twitter. It was just one day, so we're still working on that. But you can hunt me down on Twitter at BurkTime if you want to run over there and look me up. So there you go. All right, Stu, so I got to ask you because it seems like every show I've watched or seen or whatever kind of happens, that this is all they've really talked about. You know, last night in the Marlins-Braves game, Ronald Acuna was attempting to tie a record. He had let off, for his team, three straight games with a home run. Four is the record held by Brady Anderson of, I think he was with the Baltimore Orioles at the time. And sure enough, what happens, but he gets drilled by Jose Urania. Now, the pitch ended up hitting him in the – it was like the elbow or the forearm, but that was really because he flinched and turned that way. If he had turned the other way, he would have got hit right in the lower back or the upper butt. You know, there were, you know, a lot of speculation with this. Was it intentional? Was it intentional? You know, my guess is it probably was, but they actually threw Urania out. He threw one pitch in that game and got tossed out. So I think they kind of stretched it there. I don't know. Did you see it by any chance? What were your thoughts on it?
I watched the replay today. It looked like a cheap shot. I think maybe he was trying to pitch inside, but it maybe got away. I'll give him that much, but I think the umpires are afraid that things are going to escalate when the bench is cleared, and they figured that they would get rid of him and before the Braves would attempt to retaliate. And I understand that Acuna might play today. He's day-to-day, but he's supposed to be in the lineup for the next game. So I hope the injury wasn't serious. I guess the x-rays were negative. No bones broken, nothing bad, except that a nasty bruise, but boy, it looked bad. When you take a look at the replay, it looked like I got him square in the elbow, and that is nothing, not very pleasant.
Yeah, you know, I understand. You know, you look at it. I honestly believe it was intentional. You can tell me whatever you want. I believe he was throwing at him. But to be fair, you know, Urania has hit 20 batters this season. It's the fifth most in Major League Baseball. So it's not like this hasn't happened before. You know, this isn't anything new. I kind of thought that one was fishy. You know, again, that's just my opinion.
Have they interviewed him today? And what do you have to say about the pitch?
Yeah, you know, they talked to him after the game, and it was just the usual, you know, I wasn't trying to hit him, it got away from me tagline that we get all the time. So
that's typical, right? You expect him to say anything else, right?
He's
not going to say that he threw him intentionally, but it looked very suspect, the pitch.
I just kind of thought the umpires overreacted. I don't think an ejection was necessary. You know, that was a little ridiculous. And oddly, you know, it was really the Braves manager and the coaching staff that escalated the altercation. You know, Eric Young shoved one of the Marlins players when things were kind of starting to settle down. And Brian, I believe it's pronounced Snitker, is the Braves manager, continued to go after Urania while players were walking off the field. And that got the players back on the field. You know, and I understand you're upset your young star got hit, but you've got to have a little more composure than that. So, you know, I just thought that was kind of ridiculous there. And, you know, I'm sure they'll both end up being fined by Major League Baseball, just like Urania will. So we'll see how that goes. My problem with this is this sadly leads to a lot of stupidity. You know, like I had MLB Tonight on and Greg Amsinger was hosting, and this guy is just a complete moron when it comes to stuff. Harold Reynolds was talking about how it was kind of disappointing that Acuna didn't have a real shot to tie the record. And Amsinger kind of went on this rant on why didn't he have a shot. You know, the at-bat didn't count. He got hit by a pitch. And the moron, for whatever reason, couldn't seem to understand that it was home runs leading off a game for your team. And I just couldn't figure out what this idiot was talking about, and he kept going back to it and going back to it. And Harold Reynolds just kept correcting him. And, God, it got so bad that I had to turn it off because this idiot just wouldn't shut up. I'm like, man, I got to find something else to watch. I think I'm going to turn it on like the NFL Network just to see what was on.
There was an official at bat. Even though he was hit, there was still an official at bat, and his name was in the record books as his first at bat, and that has to count. That of course he was hit, but the record is gone, or at least in a chance to tie it. Now, what happens if he hits one tonight?
Well, then I guess he hits, you know, what, four and five,
yeah.
4 and 5 games,
4 and 5,
or, you know,
whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
They don't play Miami
tonight
now, right? They don't play Miami.
No, they're playing
somebody else.
They play football tonight, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but they will play Miami again, so that will be a little interesting to see how that kind of shakes out.
Yeah, it could have been a very serious blow for Atlanta because they only have a 2-game lead in the NL East, and this kid is a terrific player. He could have been out for the season. Could have been a fractured elbow. Who knows? It was a nasty blow.
Yeah, checking the Braves lineup, he is leading off playing left field tonight. So
it's good to see him. He's gutsy enough to come back in there. I'm sure he's still hurting. That's a painful bruise.
You know, I can't figure out, for whatever reason, I must just attract stupidity when it comes to baseball announcers because, you know, there was an early game. We had the Tampa Bay Rays at the New York Yankees. The Rays end up beating the Yankees again. I think that's the second time in a row they've taken a series from them. They won 3-1 today. Blake Snell got the win. Masahiro Tanaka took the loss. And Adam Kolarek picked up the save. If you happen to have him in your fantasy league, I'd like to know how big your league is that you have Adam Kolarek, but he got a save. Anyways, the Yankee idiot broadcaster, and I think it was Michael Kay who was doing the thing today, started comparing what happened with Urania and Acuna to when Severino threw at Mookie Betts. The big difference there was the fact that Severino didn't hit Betts, but he threw it head high. Urania threw it, you know, at waist level or a little above.
Right.
There's a big difference where you're throwing 95 at the head and 95 at the waist. You know, and obviously Severino missed, so he didn't get ejected, but he did end up having a terrible start. It was like the whole incident threw him off his game, and he couldn't get his groove back.
When they start throwing at your head, that's really impacts from the flow of the game. Remember what happened to Brian? He got hit in the head. And it took him a long time to get back.
You know, this idiot was trying to equate the two situations where there was absolutely nothing similar about them. You know, it was the pitcher who went head hunting. against the guy who was intentionally throwing at a guy, but the, you know, they always say if there's a right way to do it, you're supposed to throw it waist high so the guy gets hit in the rear end. So, you know, I mean, he was, Urania was at least around that area. And yeah, it just drove me nuts. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I couldn't be in the booth with that guy because I ended up punching him in the face and throwing him out of the booth and just doing the game by myself until the showed up to arrest me. Because they're just idiots when they get like that. And it's like, really, you think this is a similar situation?
Not quite. And by the way, that's two losses in a row at home to Tampa, right, for the Yankees.
Yeah, Tampa, for some reason, I know the Yankees went down to Tampa. I think it was the series before this. And, you know, like a lot of excuse today was, well, they don't have Judge or Sanchez against the lefty. Well, they had Judge in the series in Tampa, and they got swept. This series, they lost 2 out of 3. So whatever it is, Tampa seems to have the Yankees' number for some reason.
Yeah, as we talked yesterday, I could see the East Coast fans moaning and groaning if both Seattle and Oakland made it into the playoffs and the Yankees didn't.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there would be a revolt. They would have to restructure baseball, you know, for the division. Just one of those things. So...
yeah,
you know,
somehow there seems to be more excitement when the Yankees are in the playoffs. I know, just tradition, maybe the name value. Of course, when I was growing up, as I pointed out before, they won year after year after year after year, and every year was the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series, or the Yankees and the Giants in the World Series. So it got pretty tedious after a while until the Braves won in 57. That's the Milwaukee Braves, of course.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but that was the MLB Network game. So I was watching a little of that, and then I told you, in the middle of it, my UVerse system decided to update, and the converter box fried. But luckily, I was able to stream it on MLB at Bat and see the rest of the game. They do have actually another game going on right now. It's the Facebook Live game. I know you're. You have a Facebook account, but you're not super active.
Right.
So I know you don't, you know, but I have watched a little of it, and it's not too bad. But believe it or not, the Mets are taking it to the Phillies. It's 15-4. The Mets just had a 10-run top of the fifth. This is the first game of a doubleheader, by the way. The Phillies have made 4 errors. They look like the Keystone Cops. It's ridiculous.
Bad loss for a contending team. Who started for the Phillies?
Today, for game one, it was, I want to say his first name. I believe his first name is actually Ranger. Ranger Suarez got the start there. So he lasted just 4 innings. He did give up 8 runs, but only 4 of them were earned. And then Mark Leiter Jr. came in. He lasted an inning, gave up 7 runs. None of them were earned. So imagine that. So.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's bad. I'm not quite sure that the Phillies have enough pitching to win the division.
Yeah. Yeah, they're on to Hector Neris now, who was their former closer but was so bad they sent him down. So we'll see who comes into the game next. I'm assuming we're not far off from a position player coming in to do some wrap-up in this game, especially with another game following it.
Yeah, there have been a lot of position players this season coming in and finishing blowout games. And yeah, I always wonder, though, could they possibly get hurt doing that, hurt their shoulder, hurt their elbow? So I'm not a fan of that happening myself.
Probably Jose Canseco did. He came in, I think he was a Red Sox at the time.
That's right, yeah.
And he came up work and he blew out his shoulder.
Yeah, so it can be a risky move.
Yeah, you know, that's one of, especially if you're going to put a star guy out there. I mean, I understand if you're putting, you know, the 23rd or 24th guy out there, you know, if you lose him, okay, you can call up a guy to replace him for the minors. But yeah, I don't want to, you know, if I'm the Phillies, I'm not looking for, you know, Rhys Hoskins or Odubel Herrera to end up on the mound throwing an inning in this game.
I wonder how Javi Baez would do as a pitcher.
Well, if he could find the strike zone, he'd probably throw pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm sure he could.
That's, you know, that. But, yeah, it was unbelievable just watching the game and watching the Phillies just it was like, you know, like Hoskins dropped a fly ball. Franco made two errors on what were pretty easy ground balls. He should have had a third, but he got lucky. They hit the ball to him. He dropped it, but the Met batter got hurt. It was Brandon Nimmo, and he ended up down in the batter's box. He couldn't run to first base. So Franco was able to throw him out at first because he couldn't get out of the box. Otherwise, he'd have three errors, and the Phillies would have six on the day. So, it's been a horrible defensive day for them.
Not a good performance for a supposed contending team, and I'm sure they'll be a contender right through the end of the season.
And if they do get in, they're really going to have to, they're going to have to get really good pitching and just kind of hope they can out-hit some teams because that defense isn't going to do them any favors.
No. And the National League is weak this year. There are six or seven contending teams, but do any of them really impress you as being the dominant favorite to win? Not in my book.
No, I keep waiting for the Cubs to kind of take over and run away because, I mean, you look at it and talent-wise, I really think they're the best team. And for whatever reason, it never happens. It's like they're in cruise control waiting to turn it on. And, you just can't do that.
No, you can't. And I'm wondering if this is another season in which the Cardinals will at least overtake Milwaukee, and Milwaukee once again will not be in the playoffs. And it's looking like that could possibly happen.
Sadly, that seems to be Milwaukee's kind of shtick. You know, they hang around, and then last year they disappear.
Yeah, they seem to fade in the late months of the season, August and into September, that they do their swan dive and are out of the playoffs. And it's hard to believe that they're not going to be that they might not make the playoffs this year, considering they've had a very decent season all the way through so far.
So yeah, and there's like 7 weeks to go, so they're going to have to have to kind of figure something out. You know, I was a little surprised they didn't add a pitcher. You know, maybe they tried and just couldn't work out a deal. But I think, Jimmy Nelson coming back kills them. And then, of course, just to add to it, they open a series with St. Louis tomorrow. You know, the card, I think they're – are they going to St. Louis? I think St. Louis is coming to Milwaukee. But either way, the Cardinals are bringing an 8-game winning streak with them. The Brewers are 4-6 in their last 10, and they lost that second game of the series to the Cubs.
Right, so, exactly. Exactly, and the Cardinals are super hot right now.
I have to double check. The Cardinals are actually at home, so Milwaukee is going to St. Louis. So
yeah, it's going to be a packed house for those three games.
Oh yeah. So just kind of looking. There aren't any big time matchups today. John Lester does go for the Cubs against the Pirates, who, they're over 500 and they're hanging around. We do have the Rockies at the Braves. The Rockies really need to win because they're hanging on there out west. But other than that, there aren't any real super huge matchups. It's really tomorrow when things kind of pop up. We're gonna get what was I looking at? The one here we go. We're gonna get Houston at Oakland. So that's gonna be huge. Just to have some fun with you here, Edwin Jackson is going to start tomorrow for Oakland. So maybe you'll be here again and we can break down that start.
Well, my prediction, that's a sure loss for Oakland, but he's proved me wrong again.
Yeah.
He's been really solid.
St. Louis was off tonight, but I was wrong. They're playing Washington one more time. It's Tanner Roark against Luke Weaver. So we'll have to see if maybe the Nationals can end that winning streak before Milwaukee comes into town.
Yeah, this is one where the Cubs gain a game against Milwaukee because they've played four games more than Milwaukee, and they've got to start catching up eventually. But they're still five ahead. I think the Cubs are five ahead of both St. Louis and Milwaukee in the loss column, which is the critical column when you pay attention to that. You don't pay attention to the standings as much as you pay attention to the loss column. You can't make up a loss. You can make up a win, but not a loss. And
from the Pirates' side, these are kind of must-win games if they want to hang around. You know, they're nine back, but you know they would have three teams to get over to get in first place. You know, they'd have to get past the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Cubs. They've been struggling as of late. But
they decided they were going to be buyers, right? And ever since they decided they're going to be buyers, they've tanked. They've played quite poorly.
Yeah, they've pretty much been a 500 team since they went out and acquired guys, which is kind of strange. But we'll see. They're still they're 61-60, so they're still hanging around. But this is definitely a must series win for them starting tonight. They need to win this series. They can't split it. Can't lose it. They need to win it, at home. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, if they won three out of four, that would really tighten things up in the NL Central for sure.
Yeah, and they're rolling out Ivan Nova tonight, he's a solid starting pitcher. I don't know, I don't think you'd ever call him great, but he keeps his team in games. He's a strike thrower. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. He might against the Cubs because they have a tendency to strike out. But, other than that.
The Cubs are such an enigmatic team when it comes to offense. I mean, you never know if they're going to get shut out, which they've been several times this year, eight or nine times, or else they're going to unleash an offensive onslaught and score eight or nine runs with 12, 13 hits. But you just don't know. They're lacking consistency.
Oh, well, here you go. I just found an update on this from our story we opened with. Jose Urena has been suspended six games.
Wow.
For last night's incident. And then Eric Young, the Braves first base coach, was given a one-game suspension. It doesn't say if Urena is going to appeal, but for a starter, six games is one start. If he appeals, they'll probably knock it down to five.
Right. I'll make it five, so he'll miss one start. But I'm a little surprised. And, of course, as you pointed out, when they do the suspensions, usually the pitcher will get more games than the everyday player.
Yeah.
But I'm a little surprised it's 6-6.
Yeah, other suspension news. Yafiel Puig picked up a two-gamer for the incident he had at home plate with him and Nick Hundley. I think that was two nights ago where Puig swung and missed and then – kind of slapped the bat, and when he got in the box, Hundley started chirping at him, and it broke down into the benches clearing, and Puig actually, oddly, and I never understand, this is like when football players fight. For some reason, Puig decided to throw an open-handed slap at Hundley while he still had his catcher's mask on. And I don't know, I understand it's heat of the moment, but guys, that just doesn't work. So...
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a very effective blow on Puig's part, but he's another guy that's been disappointing as far as I'm concerned. I thought he had a potential to be a terrific ball player. Maybe he will be eventually, but he seems to be a hothead, and his offense has been quite disappointing over the last couple of seasons. Never as good as I thought he would be.
I wonder if he just got off to too good of a start, and the expectations were too high, and that this is just the ball player he is.
Yeah, that he could have just. This is, as you pointed out, this could be what he's going to be for the rest of his career. Never the lofty expectations, though, that certainly that he thought he would have when he first started playing.
So yeah, because he came out his rookie year. I mean, he was a monster, and then his second year he was really good as well. He struggled with some, he's had some injuries after that. He had an assignment in AAA last year for a little while as well. But last year he was solid. I mean, it's not great, but he was .263 with 28 homers and 74 RBIs. This year the average is a little higher. It's .268. He's got 15 homers, but only 44 RBIs right now. He's a double-digit base stealer, and he's a really good defender. But I don't think he's that franchise builder that people thought he was after those first 2 years. And I think that may hurt him more than anything.
I think it will, and that's an extremely low number of RBIs for a supposed top of the league, top echelon type player. 45 is really low.
To be fair, they've been hitting him eighth a lot of the year, so I'm sure he's not getting a ton of RBI chances with the pitcher standing on deck behind him. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with where he's hitting in the order. You know, recently I know they had moved him up a little, but I remember he's on one of my yearly fantasy teams, so I always kind of check in on him. And, yeah, he spent a majority of the year hitting in the eight hole. So they didn't do him any favors with driving any runs in.
No, that's not going to help him any.
So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, so two games for him, I guess. You know, if he wants to appeal, it'll probably come down to one, you know, like, you know, the majority of these things do. So nothing too major. But sadly for me,
no.
I missed winning money in FanDuel last night by 2 points. Luckily, it was a free game. It was one of the free rolls I earned, so I didn't have to put any money in. But, yeah, just 2 points. I just needed another hit out of somebody to pick up some extra money, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, that another 2 points, you would have won $2,000 or $3,000, and it would have made a nice night for you.
Well,
but it didn't happen.
Probably 2 cents, but, you know, I would have taken that, especially because
yeah.
It was free. None of my guys hit home runs, so I decided since you were coming back, I needed a Cub in my lineup today. So I went with Bryce Harper as one of my guys. Then I'm going with A.J. Pollock of the Diamondbacks as my other guy. And then my third guy in home run derby tonight, I decided it's time to pull out Anthony Rizzo. He's hitting cleanup tonight, so he's my third home run derby contestant, or as FanDuel calls it, home run challenge, because I'm sure home run derby is copywritten. So, yeah, I got Harper, Rizzo, and Pollock as my home run guys tonight.
Yeah, that's a decent combination. And Rizzo's been hitting awfully well the last few weeks. So it's
to add even more, hopefully you're going to bring me some luck. I do have Javi Baez in my regular FanDuel lineup. He's leading off. I paid $3,900 for him tonight. So he needs to come through.
Yeah, how long is he going to remain as a leadoff hitter, though?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they just, you know, Rizzo actually did quite well there. I get he's not the prototypical leadoff hitter, but, you know, you look at that Cubs roster and they really don't have one of those guys.
No.
I was really hoping that they would give Almora a chance, but, you know, he doesn't play enough to be up there.
Yeah, I think that they moved Rizzo from the leadoff spot because of the lack of offense, and they wanted to generate some kind of a spark at the cleanup level, so they put him in there. And it did work the first time up. He hit that home run with the man on.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's you know, and especially in today's game with all the, you know, the goofy analytics and crap that you got to deal with, you know, I mean, who knows who belongs where anymore in your lineup. It's just, out of control.
But I think you're right about Almora being a good leadoff man, and or else Zobrist. I always thought Zobrist might be good at the leadoff position.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, didn't they start with him there this year, and he kind of scuffled right out of the gate, and they went away from that?
Right. But he certainly has been hitting the ball very much, much better than he did last season. Of course, he had a lot of injuries last season. He certainly has turned it around.
Yeah, you know, and you just, you know, you wonder how many more years he's got left. So
yeah. Maybe one, two at the most, I would think.
You know, and do you know, is he signed through next year, or is this the last year of his deal?
I think he's signed for one more year, but you might have to double check that. But I believe he has one more year remaining on his contract.
So yeah, because I was, you know, because I
don't take my word for it.
No, I will use Dan's favorite search engine here and you know, Bing good old Ben Zobrist and see what kind of contract details we can come up with for him. I love how when you always Bing an athlete's name, one of the things is, you know, that player's name and wife. Like, you want to look up what his wife, you know, who his wife is or something. So I wonder if they do that with the female athletes and get to look up their husband.
I don't know. I know she's a pretty good singer.
Yeah, this is his last year. He signed through this year.
Oh, okay. That's it, huh? Well, that'll be an interesting decision for the Cubs to make for next season. Will he bring him back or not?
Or, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, he's had a, you know, pretty solid career. Maybe he'll just decide he wants to, you know, wants to pack it in. He'll be, you know, 38 coming in the next season. So
yeah, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to go out in the high because he's having a fine year, and it will be a good way to go out, especially if the Cubs could do some good in the, and go deep into the playoffs. But I'm not that optimistic that that's going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, you know, definitely going to be interesting to see how, you know, how they do that. Because, yeah, you know, it's always been kind of looked at as they, you know, they have too many players as it is. You know, too many everyday guys. So you wonder if they would bring them back or, you know, what they would actually do.
Well, let's assume the Cubs make the playoffs. Would Bodie be on the playoff roster? I'm saying that, of course, considering that Chris Bryan will be back.
So, yeah, you know, that's a tough, you know, a tough call because you just don't know, you know, what they seem to be wanting to do, you know, with this. I mean, is you know, would they seriously consider adding Terrence Gore to the playoff roster? You know, is that why they went out and got him yesterday?
Yeah,
so you know, obviously, I think.
Years.
Yeah, you know, if Bryant is still hurt, obviously, I think that you know Bodie would be on the playoff roster, but I guess there's a possibility he could take that last spot instead of Tommy La Stella. I think he might be a little more of a player. But, yeah, I don't know.
Or would they take a big chance and not have Caratini in the lineup and have somebody, maybe Schwarber being the backup catcher, but I don't know, with that injury he had a few years ago, I don't think it's in the cards happening. Maybe if he didn't have that injury, they might consider that possibility as an emergency catcher in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think you could leave Caratini off the roster. I think you need him there just in case, you know, anything was to happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, I would imagine if Contreras goes down in like the first or second inning, you know, you'd be asking to do quite a bit of catching there.
Yeah, but a little disappointed with Caratini's performance at the big league level, to tell you the truth, because he doesn't seem to hit for power. Very, very few RBIs, and he may be one of those players I always tell you about, a 4A player, because he seems pretty anemic at the plate lately.
Yeah, you know, I actually wonder if he's just a guy who needs to play, and the fact that there just aren't any at-bats for him on this team hurts him.
Well,
you know,
they do give him a spot start when there's for example, if Contreras catches Saturday night, I'm sure that Caratini will be in the lineup for the Sunday afternoon game. But he doesn't get too many shots, that's for sure.
Regular bats. I mean, where he's playing, you know, three or four nights in a row, and he's getting
that's not going to happen.
You know, that's not happening here with the Cubs. I mean, that there's just no place for him. But
no,
you know, I wondered maybe when they brought him up if they were maybe thinking about showcasing him and seeing if they could package him in a deal because, you know, they had Jimenez who, you know, he's a solid backup catcher. You know, there's nothing wrong with having him as your backup. But, yeah, they went a different route, so.
Yeah, I think they would have to get a decent pitcher in return if they showcase Caratini as a trade possibility.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the thing at the time. I mean, there was an opportunity to go get, like, you know, a Chris Archer or somebody like that, you know, when they still had him around. But, yeah, I don't, you know, obviously he's been moved now. That's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
And he has not been all that impressive so far.
He definitely had his scuffles. I mean, you know, again, you're looking at a guy who's, you know, he's changed leagues. But you know you do wonder if you know he'll be able to help him out.
Yeah, he hasn't looked too impressive so far.
No, No, but I do think they won two of his three starts. So while he hasn't been great, you know, the team has managed to win the games.
Well, he kept them in the game then, at least. That's all you can say.
Yeah, you know, I know his ERA is quite high. I saw that. I think it's 5.45 in his three starts, which is, you know, just monstrous for the National League. But, you know, like I said, they did win the games.
That's
which,
all
you know,
it counts,
in
right?
The end, you know, in the end, it's definitely what you're, you know, the object is. So, you know, we'll see if he can continue to get some wins or the fluke.
What happens? We'll see. By the way, talking about the turning things around, I read today in the paper that Lester discovered he knows what he's going to do to turn things around now, and that is to throw more curveballs. Because that's what he said. He's going to throw more curveballs and off-speed stuff, and combine that with his slider and his fastball, and he'll throw a four-hitter tonight and go pitch a full nine innings.
Well, that would be nice. They could use that. You know, it would be big if he.
That'll be good. I got some swampland also in Florida for you.
You know, to be fair, I didn't use him on my FanDuel lineup. I went a different route. I wasn't going to pay the John Lester money there. So
how much did he cost for tonight?
He's normally I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm sure for sure he was right around, you know, the low 9,000s to 10 grand. So I did not spend that on.
Yeah, even based upon his previous poor performances, that the price
his price tag has actually been coming down. He's down in the you know, the 9,000s now. But yeah, he still carries a pretty hefty price tag. So
Yeah, he is. But who did you go with tonight?
You know,
pitching.
I went with Irvin Santana. You know, I thought he was a pretty good value. He only cost me like $6,000, and he's pitching against the Tigers. You know, obviously the Twins are a rebuilding team, but so are the Tigers. And I think Santana's, you know, gonna find it tonight. Give me the opportunity. You know, it gave me the opportunity to spend money other places, which you know, which is always nice to do. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens tonight, and I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, and you know, luckily for me, it was another free roll. I earned another free play. So, you know, when I get those, I don't mind kind of taking a shot with a guy that maybe I wouldn't normally go with if I was paying for it. But you know, sometimes, you know, and I realize, and this was something actually Mr. Fantasy taught me. You know, you got to be able to find those guys that nobody else is going with to win money. You know, because a lot of times, I mean, you're going to look tonight and, you know, there's going to be a bunch of guys who jump on the Gerrit Cole bandwagon because, you know, he's making a start. And, you know, it's just going to be, you know, one of those things. I mean, obviously, he's a good pitcher. Those are, you know, the things you do. But, yeah, you need to find those kind of under-the-radar guys, especially a pitcher. I mean, if I can get six innings out of Santana and he picks me up a win – I'll do okay with the, you know, the lineup I was able to, you know, to build around him. So
sounds like the trick is to get someone who is, like you said, under the radar, maybe someone who has suddenly got hot the last two or three performances, but is not normally a real expensive pitcher. But of course, if they've got hot the last three times, does that mean that the price for them go up also?
Yeah, the prices, like, you know, a lot of guys will, you know, slowly climb. You know, like I was trying to remember, one of the guys we noticed for the longest time, Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays now, used to be a Cardinal, he's a Blue Jay this year.
Right.
He scuffled early, and you could get him down around, you know, he was a $2,200 player. The lowest is $2,000. So he was always right there at the bottom of the outfielders, and it was kind of like, oh, you know, okay, let's take a look at him. Well, he got hot, and it started to show. You know, now I think last week we were talking about him a little on Sunday because, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I build our lineups on Sunday, and he's a $3,000 outfielder now.
Yeah.
So
it's really got to be very difficult to find someone, like you said, under the radar like that. And that no one pays much attention to, but it gives you a good chance to be productive.
Yeah, it's difficult. Well, tonight for me, that guy is Johnny Field. I also love the name. That's another big reason. He's starting for the Twins tonight. So I have Santana pitching for the Twins, and then Johnny Field is one of my outfielders. He's a $2,000 guy. So I'm hoping he's my kind of sneaky under-the-radar guy that's going to come through. And, you know, sometimes, you know, these if you can get it, and, you know, the tough part is your whole lineup has to hit. You know, I've had times where my cheap player has put up 30 points and then my big gun has taken a zero. So
yeah.
it's kind of tricky. And I'm trying to remember. I thought I had something like that happen last night. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I'll have to take a peek here at my lineup that just kind of – I did score 191.4 points, which is pretty good. It just wasn't good enough to win money.
Oh, but, what was the cutoff for winning, 200?
Yeah, I needed 193.30.
Okay. Yeah, but you were really close.
Yeah, you know, looking here, like, who was a cheap guy that I had here? Where's my cheapest guy from last night? My cheapest player, I spent $2,600 on Jonathan Villar of the Orioles, and he put up 31.4 points.
Wow,
so
that's pretty impressive.
My problem was I had Eugenio Suarez from the Reds who took a zero. If he just gets a hit or a walk, I win money.
Yeah.
You know, I spent on Bryce Harper at 4,300. He only gave me 9 points. So.
See, your fringe players did better than the top Nats names.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, that'll happen. I mean, like, I was lucky enough to have Brandon Nimmo in my lineup last night. And he went 5 for 5, ended up going for 50.1 points. So
yeah, what a huge night that was.
Yeah. You know, but like the winners all tied with, they had 287.70. So I was a little less than 100 points behind them. But, you know, all of them had Nimmo. And like the one guy had a $2,000 guy who scored 25.2 points. So, you know, it's finding that right guy that, you know, kind of can put you over the top when you're right there.
I guess maybe the trick is to find someone who's in a slump and figure that this is the night he's going to break out. You get him for a cheap price,
yeah,
and he'll put up points for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta be able to hit those guys who are hot while they're still hot. You don't want to be the guy who's there when their streak ends. And then just like you said, you want to be there when the guy comes out of his slump. You know, like I know Gleyber Torres is really scuffling. He wasn't available today because it was a night league. But I think he was 1 for his last 21 coming into the day. Obviously, he's a better player than that. So you want to be the guy who's there when he breaks out. It's
right,
just
exactly.
When is he going to do that? So.
Yeah, you keep riding him and he keeps slumping. It's not going to do any good either.
Right, you know, and I've realized that the only consistent play and the guy you should have in your day every day, your guy who should be in your lineup every day on FanDuel is Starlin Castro. So,
yes,
that's just how it works.
Yeah, I haven't
paid
too much attention to his stats for this season, but I assume he's putting together a fairly decent year as he usually does.
Yeah, you know, actually, I think he's been pretty solid. You know, I've used him a couple times. I know he was in a really bad slump, but recently he came out of it. So, but you know, it's obviously, you know, it's tough down there. It's really, you know, it's him and JT Realmuto, and then just kind of a bunch of cast offs, or you know,
yeah,
just guys who are. So you gotta.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the humidity can wear you down too, even though most of their games are at night. I'm wondering if the intense humidity, because it doesn't, you know, it's humid there at night too, as one who has been there a couple of times, so it doesn't really make much of a difference. And so I'm sure that the wear and tear factor has to be there.
Yeah, well, here you go. He's at 281. He has 10 home runs, 44 RBIs, and 24 doubles. And he's played in 120 of their games this year. So not too bad.
No, it's a solid year. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, especially for a team that's, you know, a whopping, you know, what are they? Have they won 50 games yet? Are they to the 50 win mark?
So, I doubt it.
Yeah, I got to look here. It's just my internet is running a little slow, and I wanted to jump to the standings. Now they are 48-75. So.
Yeah, there's not much incentive when you're 27 games below 500.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little tough to. Little tough to, you know, and I do wonder, you know, with all the money these guys make, how they manage to stay motivated, you know, how they just don't lose interest in something when your team is just that bad, you know, especially a veteran guy.
Yeah, sometimes they just play out the string and that's it, and it doesn't do anybody any good. But considering all the money they make, they at least put out their best effort, even if they're playing for a losing team.
Yeah, you know that. Just, you know, one of those things that I guess you learn how to deal with. I mean, I think he's done more losing in his career than winning.
Yeah, it's funny that he gets traded and the team trade him, and that team becomes a contender. Of course, he did play for the Yankees too.
Yeah, but he was only there what, 2 years or 1 year?
Yeah, a couple of years.
So. You know, that's always, you know, because, obviously, you know, he got in the playoffs last year. I don't think they won his first year there. So.
Yeah, they were starting to come up a little bit, but I don't think it was until his second season that with them that they made the playoffs.
Yeah, they kind of had that shuffle rebuild where they dished off some guys and brought in some younger guys and kind of rebuilt on the fly, and it worked out for them. So, well, you know, and now obviously they're set up to be good for a really long time.
Even though they might not make the playoffs this year, wouldn't that be funny?
That'll definitely be the big story if they somehow don't find their way in the playoffs. That will be a just the funniest thing. I'll get some, you know, and I, you know, I mean, they're a good team. I'm not rooting against them or anything, but just story wise, you know, if them or the Astros just somehow didn't get in, that's all anybody would be talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the Yankees if they didn't get in, and Houston too would be a shocker because they had a big lead at one time in their division, and that's been sliced way down.
Yeah, they were. You know, it looked like they were going to run away with it.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and it was, you know, everybody else just kind of hanging around. But, yeah, you know, Oakland and Seattle have really, really made up some ground. So.
Yeah, anything can happen in the last 6 weeks of the season.
So, let's see if I can find this. I wanted to ask you something here. Where is he? There we go. All right, now, you know, we have our fantasy football drafts are coming up over Labor Day weekend. We're going to be picking our guys. If you're interested, anybody out there, we have two leagues. We have an auction league and then the snake style league draft. They are free. We just run them through Yahoo. If you'd like to play, email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and Dan or I will send you the link back, and you can join for free. All we ask is that you be active because, you know, the worst part is having a dead team and just watching a guy get cheap wins every week. But, you know, slowly but surely I've been looking at the rankings here, Stu, and Mitchell Trubisky is the 24th-ranked quarterback. He's 145 overall, which means in our league he'll go in the middle of the seventh or the, you know, the, well, yeah, what, early seventh, middle, late seventh round. Is that too low or too high for him? Should I have him farther up my board, or do you think I need to move him down?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'm getting a very sinking feeling in the gut of my stomach that he may be a bust. Or maybe it's too early to say that, but how many good quarterbacks have you seen it since you've been following the Bears over the years? One, two, not many. And he may join the list. He may join the list of bust as quarterback for the Bears.
I was just wondering, you know, if he could be maybe, you know, one of those sneaky guys, you know, that you could get in the seventh, eighth round. Of course, in our league, being a Chicago guy, these guys all go higher. In the auction league, they're overpaid for, and in our league, they're drafted higher because, you know, we live in the Chicago area, and the majority of the people are Chicago fans. But,
I was going to say, didn't Von Miller of Denver say he's going to be great?
Oh, did he? Maybe he did.
Yeah, he did. He's going to be a great quarterback. And I was a little dubious when I saw that, but maybe he knows what he's talking about. I hope he's right.
Yeah, the bear I was really worried about, and like we had him last year in Mr. Fantasy and I did in our money league, and man, he was hot and cold, was Jordan Howard. He's the 12th rated running back out of running backs, and he's 28th overall, which means he's looking to be a second round pick in our league. I worry with this new offense that he's not going to fit in as well because, you know, obviously it's throwing based, and he's not a great receiver, and I worry if this is going to limit his carries. Is this too high for him? You know, you as a Chicago guy, I thought maybe Cohen would get more attention, like Kamara does for the Saints.
Well, as you pointed out, the one weakness he seems to have is that he drops a lot of balls, and with the new offense they're going to have, that doesn't sound like it's going to be good for him. But they still have to run the ball on occasion. You can't just have run, pass all the time. You got to have at least a certain percentage of your plays being running plays to keep things honest.
You know, some teams you do wonder. He was the guy I just had a big being concerned with when it comes to fantasy. I don't know if I can go on him. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really good. You know, good running backs out there, and I'm just not sure if, you know, I could pull the trigger there for him at, 28.
He doesn't fill me with confidence, let's put it that way.
We'll see. You know, I mean, he did end up with over 1,000 yards last year, and more importantly, scored 9 touchdowns, which is big in fantasy. He had 276 carries, and I just don't know if he's going to get to that number. You know, I'm more worried he's going to be down around, 200 or 225, and, he's just not going to produce with, it's going to take away from the rest of his numbers with lower carries.
Yeah, that being said, it wouldn't be a good selection at that high a level.
So, for the life of me, while I keep going through this, can you tell me who the Bears' number one receiver is? Because I have no idea.
Well, it's a crapshoot. It all depends on who's the one. The one coming back from the ACL might be good if he's healthy. And who is that, Robinson? I can't remember now.
Oh, the guy they signed? Yeah, Allen Robinson?
Yeah, right. Well, he's the one coming back from the ACL, though, correct?
I know he was injured. I don't remember if that was his injury. So.
Well, it was a serious injury, and the guy could be lights out if he's healthy. But I always worry about these serious injuries if a guy can come back 100%. And sure, there have been some players who have done it, but a lot of other ones have not been able to get back to their previous high level once they sustain a serious injury like that, especially in a contact sport like football.
So, yeah, I just kind of wonder. I was looking, and the first wide receiver they actually have listed for the Yahoo rankings on the Bears is I gotta find him here. His last name is Miller, and I'm drawing a blank on what his first name is.
Yeah,
I have to.
I don't remember his name.
Look, because I'm blank here. You gotta help me out here. Do they have it listed here? What is his name? Anthony Miller. I don't know much about Anthony Miller.
Right.
But, yeah,
I guess heard some fairly good things about him. But, like you said, who's the dominant receiver? I don't know if they have any just yet. The go-to guy.
You got to wonder, I know they added Taylor Gabriel as well, who's never – you know, he's never really had the opportunity to be a starter, so you wonder, you know, if he'll produce. You know, you mentioned, you know, Robinson. You know, he's a former 1,000-yard receiver. I guess health will be the question.
Right.
I saw that Kevin White is still hanging around on the team, so we got him.
Yeah, that doesn't give me too much confidence, though. I mean, the guy, another guy.
No, talk about
Ball. Yeah. Most teams play a four-game exhibition season, correct? I know the Bears play five this year, but
yeah, Bears get five this year because they play a Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. Is the most important one the third one, usually the third of four? Is that the one that kind of tells the story of what they're going to go with and what they're going to do with, who's going to make the team, who's not? Is that the critical one?
Yeah. Yeah, in the Bears' case, it'll be the fourth game because they
have
five.
Right.
But for the other teams, it's the third game where the starters play. Normally they play about three quarters or into the third quarter, and that's really where all the decisions are made. You know, who's going to make the team, who's getting those last spots as special teamers. You know, those are the guys. That's where it all kind of shakes out.
I'm sure the players aren't going to be looking forward to having someone coming up to them and saying, "Hey, the coach wants to see you. Bring your playbook."
Yeah, that's got to be the worst feeling. You know, hey, we the coach is in his office. Oh yeah, bring your playbook with you.
That's a tough part of the business, unfortunately, and especially guys in the bubble, who maybe are not quite at the elite level that they need. Of course, it's always a practice squad.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there are obviously, you know, if you put on a good showing, there's always a chance another team will pick you up and add you to the back of their roster. So, you know, now with things going on there, apparently looks like there's going to be more opportunities. You know, we got this American Football League kicking off, and then we got the XFL getting rolling here in a couple of years as well.
Yeah, but how many of those guys are actually going to make the jump to the NFL? A handful.
I think you just kind of wonder how, you know, what the competition level ends up being like. I think it's always possible for a guy or two. I mean, occasionally we get a guy come down from Canada who does really well. So.
Yeah, I always wonder if a running back, how tough it is for a running back who comes in from Canada to adapt to the American style of football as compared to the Canadian style of football, which can be quite confusing, it seems to me, for those guys to get used to the American style of football. There's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know too many running backs or even receivers that have had a ton of success. You know, obviously, you know, Warren Moon pops right to mind as probably the guy who had the most success. And, you know, Doug Flutie came back and had a lot of success. And, like, now, you know, the Dolphins have Cameron Wake, who's a defensive lineman who has done really well for them. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of a big-time running back. And you just wonder if maybe those kind of guys stay in the NFL. They don't really end up in camp.
Yeah. Well, Flutie had a lot of success coming in, except for one team. I won't mention the team,
you know,
by the way. I will not tell you the team that he didn't have much success with.
So, no, but he did well in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course,
Buffalo's right on the border, too. I mean, what the heck? You go across there and you're in Canada.
Probably wasn't too far away. Well, I think there was a former Bear quarterback who went up there and did pretty well. I think it was Moses Marino. I'm going to go to the next one.